Keshkayach Bishvus, the Rosh Kollel. Thank you very much for this invitation. Thank you very much for breakfast. Shkayach. It's great to be together with you and among you. I apologize. Last week we had a simcha, so we had to reschedule. But thank you for your flexibility. So I want to take a look at, for our time this morning, a sugya which is much more lengthy, deserves more attention than what we can give it in our limited time. But the sugya of Hezek She'ena Nikar. It's a sugya that fascinated me. When each time I've encountered it, if you learn the Daf Yomi and you make your way through, you certain things repeat themselves. You see the patterns. Part of the beauty of, you get the rhythm of swimming in the ocean of the Talmud. So one of the sugyas that comes up is Hezek Shein and Nikar. And it never made sense to me whatsoever. Lamaisa, there's a Hezek that took place. Why should it be Potter? So that's what we're going to look at together, both going through the primary source, then seeing some of the lamdas behind it, and then even a few halacha lamaisa applications of this question of this sugya. So the Mishnah in Gittin, source number one, everyone has a source sheet. The Mishnah in Gittin says the following: Hamatamev Amadamev Amanasech Bishogeg Pater Bemezir Chayev. Person is Matame someone else's property. So someone else has food that is Tahor, and you go over, you're Tame, you touch it to something Tame, you're Matame something which otherwise was Tahor. Or you're Madame, you mix Truma with chulin, and your medama, this mixture now becomes ineligible to a non-kohen, so you have certainly decreased the value. In fact, for the non-kohen, you've made the value negligible. V'hamenasech, you took someone's wine, and you poured it, l'shem avodah zarah, you're a menasech nisucha hayayin, so you've now, of course, rendered it aser. So b'shogeg, says the Mishnah, if you did any of those things, where you changed the status. Now, mind you, in all three of the examples, you did not actually change the form. You didn't change the object itself. The only thing that you changed about it is its status. In other words, there's no physical damage. All there is metaphysical damage. You've changed its status. So the Mishnah says, Bishogeg, if you did any of those things by accident, you're metamis someone's Torah things by accident, you made the mixture by accident, you poured for an avodah zarah, which the Gemara is already going to be bothered how you do that by accident. So b'shogeg your potter, b'mezivet, if you did it intentionally, if you did it with mindfulness, then you are chayev.
Changing something's value, that is physical, that's not physical.
We'll see. That's exactly the question. That's what bothered me. That's why you and I are good friends, Howard, because that's what bothered me. What do I care whether the object itself changed? Nezek, damage, is a function of value. And if the object used to be worth $100, but someone was metame it, so now it's worth $1. So that's a $99 damage. So why do I care if when you look at it objectively, if I simply an observer to it, a spectator to it, it looks exactly the same after as it did before. I don't care what's on the surface. I care about its objective value. And the value went down. That's exactly what we're going to examine and talk about. So the Gemara right there has Itmar Menasech, Rava Menasech Mamash, Shmuel Amar Ma'ariv. Shmuel was bothered. What do you mean Menasech Mamash? Somebody the Shem Avodah Zarah. So it doesn't mean Menasech Mamash. Shmuel says it means Ma'ariv. You mixed in wine of Yayin Nesach with other wine. Fine. But the Gemara there on the next daf, on Daf Nun Gimel, says the following. Amar Chizkiya. Dvar Torah Echad Shogeg Ve'echad Mezin Chayev. Mida Oraisa, the truth is, if you damage metaphysically someone else's property, even if physically it looks exactly the same, midoraisa, yechayev. And yechayev shogeg, yechayev mezid. My time, well, because hezek she'ino nikar shmei hezek. Because he holds, Chizkiya holds, that invisible metaphysical hezek damage is still damage. As we were saying before, what do I care whether its form changed? I care about its value, its function. And in its function, that changed, been compromised. It's been corrupted. And therefore, you should be liable for it. And we know that in Adam Mu'ud La'olam, doesn't matter, Shogeg or Mezid, Hezek Nikar, Yechayev, even if you did it by accident. So in other words, if I smash into your car, but it was an accident, I don't get to say, well, it was an accident. I'm therefore exempt. No, you're liable. So just like when you explicit physical damage, you're liable whether it's intentional or unintentional, Chizk is of the opinion that Hezek Shein Nikar Shmei Hezek, invisible metaphysical damage is also damage, and you're liable. So then you have to go back to the Mishnah. Matam amar b'shogeg potter. So then why are you exempt if it was something accidental, unintentional? So Gemara has a very interesting answer. Chizkiya says, kedei sheyodiyu. Because let's say you're not around when I'm metame your tahar. What if you're not around when I was medame that created this mixture? What if you're not around when I'm ma'arev the ayin nesach with the kosher wine? So, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get out of there and disappear as quickly as possible because I don't want you to know what I did. I don't want to be liable myself. I'm just going to disappear as quickly as possible. So, in order to make sure that the owner is informed in the changed status of their property, to motivate and incentivize the one who did the damage by accident, we exempted him. So therefore, there's no liability in informing the owner of the property. You're not incurring a liability. Even your lawyer will say, you can apologize. There's no liability. You're not taking any risk by apologizing. Go apologize. Kadesh yodiyu. Yachi afil b'mezid nami. So I don't understand then. If I do a b'mezid, if someone does a b'mezid, shouldn't we have the same concern? That the real owner won't know. He won't be around when it happened. Will not have seen it. And because it's invisible metaphysical damage, we won't know what happened. So don't we have the same fear? So now the Gemara has, Chizki has a great svara. Hashtel azuke komachavein odilo modilei. If a whole goal was to be mazik him, of course you're going to tell him. The whole thing you wanted to do was hurt him. The whole reason you were doing it amazing, you did something intentional, you dafka were trying to be mazik. You were trying to damage the person. What fun was damaging the person they don't even know? You ever in an argument with someone, you're not talking to them, and the worst part is they don't realize you're not talking to them? Like, what's the point of being in the argument? What's the point of not talking to them if they don't even realize you're not talking to them? So what's the point of damaging invisibly their thing if you didn't tell them? So b'mezid, you don't need to incentivize them by creating an exemption, because even though they'll incur a liability by telling, the geschmack of the fact that they were mazik the other person, b'mezid, they're still going to be motivated to tell. So Chizkiah's opinion is hezek sheino nikar, shmei hezek. Invisible metaphysical damage, that is damage as much as physical damage. You really should be liable midaraisa demud laolam b'mezid b'shogig. However, b'shogig, we make you potter, so you're incentivized to tell. B'mezid, you're going to be self-motivated to tell because you want the geshmak that you damage the person. That's Chizkiah. Rabbi Yochanan amar dvar Torah echad shogig echad mezid potter. Rabbi Yochanan says the exact opposite. My taima hezek shana nikolash my hezek. He says the exact opposite. The truth is midaraisa hezek sheino nikar, invisible metaphysical damage is not damage. We don't give it any value whatsoever. It's insignificant. It's inconsequential. And really, you should be exempt whether you did it intentionally, whether you did it unintentionally. You're potter. So my time, because hezek sheino nikar. So my time, amar mezid chayev. So why are you liable if you did it on purpose? Shlo yikol echad echad holich metami taros v'shachaveru v'omer potter ani. It's a knas, because otherwise, if you're really annoyed at your neighbor, if you're really upset at somebody, if you really want to get even with your business partner you broke up with, you're going to walk over and you're going to be metame their taros, their, that which they have which is pure. And you'll have no liability. It's invisible, it's metaphysical. And Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is midaraisa hezek shen nikar lav shmei hezek. It's gornished, you did nothing. But in order to prevent and protect people from damaging others, so we said b'mezid yachayev as a form of a kenas. Okay, so these are the two opinions in the Gemara. So Howard says Chizkiah is 100% right. Hezek shene nikolav shmei hezek. It's a real damage. The value has gone down incredibly. And therefore I understand why you're liable, b'mezid. I can even understand the svara of b'shogeg. We're more concerned that the person will know and observe their property properly than we are with you incurring the liability. So we had to, in the hierarchy, one supersedes the other. But in principle, hezek sheino nikar should be shmei hezek. So what I want to spend our time is how do we understand a little better the hezek sheino nikar is lav shmei hezek. The Gemara continues and has a further discussion here. Meser Papa gazal mitav v'nifsal truma v'nitmeis chametz v'avalav pesach omala harisha chalafanecha. What if you stole and then you change the status of that which you stole? So your kona b'shinoi, is this really a shinoi if it's invisible, or can you just give back the property and say harisha chalafanecha? I'm a kayim the mitzvah of the heshev is like zeila. I'm giving you back what I stole. And you say, no, but what you stole was worth $100 because it was tahor. What you're giving me back, it looks exactly the same on the outside, on the surface, but now it's tamei, and now it's worthless. So what's the din? So if Papa says, the din is that the gazlan can say, harishel chalafanecha. This is what I took. This is what I'm giving back. All that we care about in the world of gezel is physical, not metaphysical, and I'm returning what I took. So if Papa says, according to Chizkiah, that hezek sheino nikar is hezek, so what do you mean harisha chalafanecha? You're not giving back exactly what you took. You're giving back something entirely different than what you took. Aye, on the surface it doesn't look different. On the surface it's not different. But if you scratch beneath the surface and you understand this change in status, it's different. Tiyuftu. Salama Kitanoi, Matama Madam Manasa Chaiv the Rib Meir, Vidom Bashagi Potum Mesa Chaiv, quotes different Tanaim, but Machlokas Tanaim about our Mishnah. My La Bokamifli Marsav Hezek Shinikar Shmehezik Marsov Lav Shmehezik. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kuyama Hezek Shinikar Lav Shmehezik. Bahacha Bekonsa Shogig Otu Mezik Kamifli. The Marsav Konsa Shogig Otu Mezik. The Marsav Lo Konsa Shogig Otu Mezik. So the Gemara ends up concluding, no, really, it's possible to explain. Everybody agrees. Hezek Shein Nickers is Lav Shmei Hezek, is not considered damage. But here there's another debate about whether we should worry about shogeg atu mezid or not. Okay, so the fundamental debate, and it seems the Gemara is coming to a conclusion, or at least trying to entertain the possibility that everybody comes to the conclusion that hezek sheino nikar is lav shmei hezek. If you can't visibly detect the damage, it is not a consequential damage with which we need to concern ourselves, and at least mida oraisa, the damager is exempt. What's the svara? How does that make any sense? Any ideas, thoughts?
Is that possibly a grama? What's the mindset?
Good. So maybe this.
I did a mindset, I was going the value to go down. So, and I pulled the pillow as the thing's falling down. So I'm going to do a hazard. I was going this value to go down. So maybe grama is equal to a thought.
Okay, good. It's a good thought. That's why the Rosh Kaila. Rabbeinu Yonah has that thought. The Torah quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, and he says, we learn Hezek Midin Egzela. The source of Hezek is Midin Egzela. And Midin Egzela, Grama, you potter. So similarly with Din Hezek, Grama, you're going to be potter. And if you gave back the Heftza, even if it's worthless, it's a worthless object that looked exactly like what you took. So we're not following the worth, we're following the object. The damage, because it's now worthless, is an indirect damage. A direct damage would be you changed the actual object. You damage the object. The fact that you changed its value is an indirect damage, and an indirect damage, Grama ben Azikin should be putter, and therefore here also it should be putter. What? Okay, is it Garmi? Is it Grama? Ramban? Fine. Not. I don't want to get too lost in that. There's a big nafkaminis though what the Rosh Kol is saying, because in other words, what you're suggesting is it's still, there is hezek that took place. It just took place through a grama. So the mazik is potter, but lamaisa, there was a hezek. There's a nizak. And there's big nafkaminis to that. So do you understand that hezek shein nikar lav shmei hezek, lav shmei hezek to the extent that there is no nizak, there was no maisa hezek? Or do you say, no, there is a maisa hezek, but there's a technicality that the maisa hezek happened ayde grama, and so the technicality that the maisa hezek happened ayde grama means the mazik is potter, but lamaisa there was still a maisa hezek, and there are nafkaminas, which Amir Tashem will try to get to. Maybe we'll get to, yeah.
The Gemara in Pesachim, the Gemara says, the Amir Hezek Shem Nikar Shmei Hezek, so you don't return the chavis, right? The Amir Hezek Shem Nikar Shmei Hezek, hang out them on the
right.
I'm sorry, they weren't getting. Gemara says, if you're going to say Hezek, so then you're not returning
El Sochefet.
Right. You are returning El
Sochefet.
It's in the Gabra, he's
a Machayev on. You're Hezek Shem. So that was the Havamina, right? That was in the Havamina. And then we said, Lema Tanoi, maybe that's the Machlok. We ended up saying, no, there's a difference. It's a.
In the Havamina, said, Hezek, Shmei Hezek, so then you're not returning the Chayvet. Why are you not returning the Chayvet? It's a svar that you're.
No, because the Gemara says, Mamona Ma'alia Boy Shlumei. And there, because the Gemara is emphasizing that it's not a din in the okay. Completion of the chayf, it's mamona. It's exactly the point. Yeah, you've returned an object that looks the same, but the value of the object has changed. So again, that's part of this question that we're going to try to explore is, when you damage, are you responsible to return the object that the person had? Or are you responsible to return a value that you depleted, a value that you diminished? Is it a din in value? Or is nezek a din in value? Or is nezek a din in function?
In the kasha that he's asking here from Abaye Shaniflu,
yeah,
the Chovas Shura on Pesach, he didn't do anything. The hazard came from an external source. He just stole it.
Well, he did something because
he stole it.
You're saying it's a sheva atase versus a kumbase.
Okay,
but Lamaise, he didn't do a shmira to prevent the hazard to it.
He didn't cut the Abaye in two.
Okay, good, right, good. Let's try to get past source one. There's a few pages here. So let's see if we get past source one. Yeah.
There's something, when you talk about changing something, there's something interesting about these three cases here, and that is the role of mindset.
Right.
In Tuma, and there were many cases in Tuma where mindset determines whether something is Tuma or not, in terms of the preparation, when it gets the wet, with the Avodah Zarah, there's
right.
a mindset. And even in the, what's the middle case again? The case of the separating, for truma and all that, you have to have in mind to do it. I mean, there's an aspect of changing these that depends on the mindset of the original person.
Good, and it's not just about the object there. There's a concept of mindset, so maybe that would be different?
Yeah, it just seems that's different. Because
okay, but we'll see our halacha lamaisa questions. Hezek Shin and Nicker is not only a din in Isser versus Mamon, it can be a din in damaging not midin Isser. So for example, in the Kailo, a guy comes to the Kailo, and it turns out that he's got the flu. He's got a cold, but he's so committed to learning. But Smada, he doesn't want to.
Policy.
He doesn't want. There's no policy. Here? he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to be mevatel his own Torah, the Torah of others. So he comes. And then when he took a bagel from the Heiliger breakfast that the Kailo puts out every day, and it turns out that he made everybody in the Kailo and everyone who came to hear the Shirim in the Kailo sick. Or you found out before everyone ate the bagels. Not after the fact. No, he touched the bagel, he realized he was sick, and I made all the bagels filled with virus and bacteria, and apparently measles and mumps and rubella, and now nobody wants to touch those bagels. So does he owe the kollel money? So it's a hezek shen and nicker. If you look at the bagels look exactly the same. Now again, there with a microscope, you could find the bacteria and the virus. Masha in Kane, in the case of the Matam and Madam Manasseh, there's no microscope that will enable you to see that damage. So maybe that is nicker, on the bagel. But you see, that's one of the shaylos we'll see. Is that's a hezek shen and nicker, right? If someone was watching the whole thing over the closed circuit camera, they would just see there were bagels. He took one, he walked away. There's still bagels. There's no hezek. Same bagels, the bagels. You know, it's not at least not visible to the naked eye.
There was a transfer of a cold.
Ain't a chanami, but it's ain't a nicker.
I'm getting sick from it.
And in the case of matame, there's a transfer of tumma. So is there a difference between transfer of tumma, transfer of bacteria? It's a hezek shen and nicker. So are you chayev? We'll see again. Maybe if we
speak bad about someone's business, is also hezek shen and nicker.
That for sure is a grama at most, but you could be a mazik that way. Yeah, if you cost, sure, someone could take someone else to a beis din. If somebody maligned another. Slandered another, and as a consequence, they lost. There was a loss of money. Sure, they go to a din Torah.
If you throw your nails on the floor and someone,
that's nicker. So source number two, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, known affectionately as the Rav, in his Rishim Shiurim, it's recorded by his Talmidim, by Rabbi Reichman, says the following: Kenash Lazik Shen and Nicker Imdina Kenash Shechayvu Midrabbon LaShalom Midin Mazik Oshochiyav Tashlumen Bifnei Atzmo. Even if you want to hold that there is a chiyuv, that hezek shen or nikar is really a kanas, that really hezek shen or nikar lav shmei hezek, which seems how the Gemara concludes, and nevertheless, b'mezid your chayiv, if you do intentionally, you have to pay. Why? Because it's a kanas, it's a penalty. So is the penalty that the Rabbanan created a din de Rabbanan mi din mazik? Or no, you're altogether not a mazik, that's for sure, but there's a chiyuv tashlum and independent. The fact that it's counted among hezek shen and nicker, the chiyuv tashlumen, even though it's midin kenas, is included among the avos nezikin, and you have to pay from the meitav, from the best. So that sounds like it's mazik midrabanan. In other words, it's modeled after the doraisa mazik. It's not a new derabanan. It's a derabanan which is modeled after the kein doraisa. V'din mazik enu mishum shehefsed ma'amon chaver ba'alma el mishum sheziku ayde sheita shem tzu b'cheftza. Meidach mashayoshe mazik hezek sheinu nikar p'tur milashalem. Now what's the halacha? Someone's mazik somebody else in a way that's enu nikar, and then he dies. So does his estate, do his yorshim have to pay? Now if Reuven bangs into Shimon's car, a mazik shenikar, and smashes up the car, and then he dies, his estate has to pay, his yorshim have to pay the mazik Shimon can collect from the yorshim of Reuven. But what if the damage that Reuven did to Shimon was eino nikar? So the Braisa says that yorshim don't pay. Why? Makes sense, it's a kenas. So you're not going to kenas the yorshim. It was a penalty that was only placed on the primary person. So yesh raya hafucha ki mashum sheinu din mazik da'ama el kenas v'chalos chiv miyuchad. So from the fact that the Yorshim don't pay, sounds like it's not the Kain de Oraisa of Mazik, it's an independent new Kanas called Tashlumin, and we don't place that on the Yorshim, we only put that on the primary person. So the Rav leaves this as a Yitzarach Iyin, with Rayas in both directions. Even the Kanas of Hezek Shino Nikar, B'mezid, that you're Chayev, what's the nature of that Kanas? Is the Kanas a Durabonin Kain de Oraisa Midin Mazik, which Yorshim then should have to pay? Or is the kanas a din in tashlumen, not modeled after mazik, an independent new din of tashlumen? In which case, we would understand why the yoshim don't have to pay. Okay. Now, again, the question is, why is the lashmai hezek? Again, example. Tosos and Baba Kama Daf Tzadi Gimel says, can you use something which is worthless? The taros which were matame, can you use them to pay a debt? Let's say I pledge to the kolo. Hypothetically, I pledge to the kolo. Don't get too excited over me. I pledge to the kolo money, and now I want to come and I want to pay my pledge with something that was an object that was the result of Hezek Shino Nikar. So I want to give a pledge with taros, which became tamei. I want to pay off the pledge with, or let's say I want to be mekadesh anisha, the classic yeshivish nafkamina. So I say I'm mekudeshesli, and I hand over to her something which looks on the outside like it's perfect and of great value. But there's a Hezek Shena Nicker. It's been damaged in a way that's rendered worthless.
But
it's rendered
agreed.
Or Pidyon HaBen. So with Truma Tmeya or with Chomesh Shavuot Pesach. That's Taisus and Bava Kama Tzadi Zayin. If you want to be Mekadesh Shenitza with Chomesh Shavuot Pesach, I want to pay off my debt to the Kol with Truma Tmeya. So can I? So Tosos says no. So again, so how then can you say that the Hezek Shena Nicker is Lashmai Hezek? If somebody damages something in a way which renders it worthless, you can no longer use it transactionally. If it no longer has a function, you can't transact with it. How can you say that that's not a legitimate? So the Meiri says the following. Says the Meiri, Teda shehezek shein nikru she'odam mazik b'shal achir, hezek shein bo shum chiddush l'nindina. K'mo shetimei ta'arosov adama peirosov, she'im bo shum chiddush l'nina din, ela l'inyan iser. So the Meiri qualifies this hezek shein nikru, and he says, hezek shein nikru is... it's empirically unperceivable. If you look at it, you cannot perceive or measure the damage. It is purely metaphysical change. There's no change on the physical level. So the world of Mazik and the world of Tashlum and the world of Hezek only applies to physical. The Torah governs the world of physical damage. But the world of Isser is a separate world altogether. Isser has its own rules. So in the dinim of Choshen Mishpat, in the dinim of Mazik, that's only when there's a physical change. If it's only a metaphysical change, that is din of Isser, and that has its own rules altogether. The Rambam has a similar lashon. Source number 4. Hamazik mamal chaver hezek shena nikar. Ho v'lo nishtana adover v'lo nifso datsuroso harizepatim min atashlumen din Torah. Hezek shena nikar. What's the Rambam's lashon? Ho v'lo nishtana adover. You didn't make a shinui. There was no actual damage measurable in the object. Its form didn't change whatsoever. So you're potter. So from Amru Ho, Midrabanan, we say that Midrabanan, we look at the, in other words, the Rambam is saying is Midaraisa, you look at the form. Midrabanan, you look at the value. The Rabbanan came along and said, Lemaisa, you diminish the value, and therefore Echayev for. However you diminished the value.
So could you take that to say under Torah law, cybercrime is not illegal?
Under Torah law, cybercrime is not illegal.
You're not
I don't
changing
know.
You're only dealing with numbers in cybercrime.
I don't know. Okay.
No physical damage.
Yeah, you only transfer the law from you.
What if the act of damage? What if the act of damage is visible, even if the impact on the item is invisible? So the maisa is nikar, but the totsa'a is invisible. How do you define eino nikar? What has to be eino nikar? Is the eino nikar the chefza, or eino nikar is the gavra, the maisa? So that's what Reb Shimon, source number 5, talks about in Shari Yosher. He says, if the maisa is visible, is nikar, even if the chefza remains eino nikar, that's called a hezek nikar. If the maisa is nikar, it's called a hezek which is nikar. You can look at that more. You can look at that more later. So the question is, why is a putter? So Pnei Yeshua, source number 6, says the following: Rav Yehoshua Falk, Kavanasa the Pshita, the Gufa is the Metama Damal of Isser the Raisa, the Medama Lakasham Isser Klal. First of all, if you mix things together, there's no Isser. So you can't call it Isser Daraisa. Skip down. Elakata Yamakam Lomar Denida in Kan Isser Daraisa, Bemetama Dama, Filoachi Ishkan Isser Daraisa, Lahazik Maman Chavero, Viazekos of Rashi came in the Lavshme Hezek, Ain Kan Isura Daraisa. Meaning, when we say Hezek Shayna Nikra Lavshme Hezek, do we mean that? Of course, the person who did it did something wrong, but in the world of liability and compensation, they don't have to pay. Or do we mean that because there's no liability or compensation, someone who does it didn't even do anything wrong? And the Pnei Yeshua concludes from Rashi that Hezek Shein and Nikr, Lav Shmei Hezek, means that Midoraisa, there's not even an Isser to be Mazik in a way which is Eino Nikr. It's not that there's an Isser, but you can't be held liable. From the fact that you can't be held liable, says the Pnei Yeshua from Rashi, means Midor, of course, Midorabanan, we say don't do it, you can't do it. But Midoraisa, there wouldn't even be an Isser. There's a general discussion in Hezek altogether, whether it's an Isser, it's just a Chiyav. We're not getting into that. But however you conclude there, even if you conclude that there's an Isser to be Mazik, a Big Shai, is there an Isser to be Mazik, or just a Chiyav Tashlum if you're a Mazik? But even if you conclude that there's an Isser to be Mazik, Hezeshein or Nikr, says the Pnei Yeshua, there's no Isser because there's no Nezik that took place. And the Pnei Yeshua is understanding of Rashi, there's mamish no nezik that took place. There's no nezik. And how could you say something's osur if you didn't create a act of nezik? The Chassam Sofer rejects the Pnei Yeshua. He says it's impossible. He says it in two places. He says it in his Tshuvas in source 7, and he says it on Gittin in source number 8. Let's look at the source number 8. Bevadei ein shum svar ba'olam d'min ha-Torah hefker v'heter hu l'hafsid av alafam revova shachavir behezek shen ha-nikar. Chalila v'chalila. Elasheino nizkar parshas nezikin dekro l'shalom imetov. Aval dover skip down. Tzarech liyim min alei min atorah lemoid hezek shen hanikar shlei bechla maka behem yishamena. He's bothered why it's not included in the pasuk. But you see that Rashi, you see the Chassam Sofer rejects the Pnei Yeshua outright, and he says very strong lashon. Chalila v'chalila, chas v'shalom. You should conclude from the fact that indiscernible, metaphysical, invisible damage does not create liability. Chalila, chas v'chalila. That you should conclude. That means that midaraisa you'd be allowed to do it lachatchila. Of course not. Just like the world of Hezek, you're not allowed to do it lachatchila. The din of Hezek shen hanikar, lav shmei Hezek, is just the din of liability and a lack of a chiyav tashlumen. So is it Hezek, but you're pater? Or are you not mazik at all? Is it hezek but you're potter? Or you're not mazik? From the Pnei Yeshua, you're not mazik at all. The Nesivus writes that it's still hezek but you're potter. That's why it's hezek sheino nikar, eino mishalim. But it's hezek, doesn't say it's potter. The lashon is potter, not mutter. Doesn't say you're mutter to be mazik sheino nikar. You're not allowed to lechatchila damage someone invisibly. It's just in the world of compensation and liability. That is the opinion of the Nesivus. Rosh Shlomo Zalman, source number 9. If you look 5-6 lines up, uvatama dvarim nira diinu savri dechol hezek she'eno shehu rak benogei le'isr v'heter lo dama lamaken nefesh behema. So where does this come from? Why should this be? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman holds it's gzeiras hakosov. It's not similar. The pasuk that's the source of mazik is maka nefesh behema. Hezek she'enu nikar is not similar to the pasuk, so therefore it's gzeiras hakosov. Im kain asa shime kodu beguf adavar gon she'asa nekem be'esrik shechaver afgad lagabei nachrim lav klumu mikomakom lididon gam shine katan zeh chashiv kemaka nefesh behema masha inkem b'negei sheretz v'kalayim deleka klal shum shinoi beguf adavar. So Shlomo Zalman says, what if I take a pin and I make a hole in your esrog? It's almost invisible, right? So a non-Jew would look at the esrog and would not see any change to the esrog, would not say that anyone damaged the esrog. But in the world of Isser, or in the world of mitzvahs, the esrog is now puzzle. The esrog's value certainly has become diminished. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, because physically there was a change that took place, even if, legabe the non-Jews, it's not enough of a physical change that would create a chiyuv tashlumen, but it's enough of a physical change in the world of mitzvah that would make the esrog worth a lot less, if not worth nothing. And that's enough of a physical change to fit into the pasuk of makan nefesh behema. So says Shlomo Zalman, it has to be, it's exeris hakosav, that the nezek has to be the type of nezek that fits in the pasuk of makan nefesh behema. If it doesn't, i.e., Eino Nicker, invisible metaphysical, that's not a Hezek that you are a Chayef for. So Shlomo Zalman would explain, why is Hezek Sheino Nicker Lashmei Hezek? Why is that your Potter? It's Gzeiras HaKasav. For Shlomo Zalman, it's absolutely a Gzeiras HaKasav.
How could be a Hezek Potter without Sheino Nicker?
It is Nicker, but it's not Nicker to a Goy, to a Nachri.
What do I care about the Goy sees or Nazis? The value of an Hezek is because you can use it for a Mitzvah.
That's what Shlomo Zalman is saying. Right. Even though, if you went to a secular court, they would look at the esrog and say there was no damage to it. But legabe a mitzvah, it's still visible, it's called nicker, and therefore, if it's makan nefesh behemah. That's his point. That's his point. Okay.
So you say you're not a mazik? Makan nefesh behemah, you shall manu. You're not a mazik or you're a mazik?
So that's Rav Gusman. Rav Gusman's suffix is, what's missing? Where's the patur stem from? Right? The nesiva says there's hezek, but you're potter. There's a hezek, but you're potter. By the way, what's a nafkamina the Sivas gives? He says, let's say you hired an uman to fix a kli for you. And they did a hezek sheino nikar on the kli. So they're not chayev for the kli, but you still have to pay them. So the din would be, you do not have to pay them. The Nesiva says, why? Because there was a hezek, they're just potter. There was a hezek that took place, they're just potter. Because there was a hezek that took place, you don't have to pay them. Now, if it meant that there wasn't even a hezek, the patur stemmed from the fact that there wasn't even a hezek, so you'd still be chayiv to pay. The fact that you're not chayiv to pay, Rav Gusman proves, means that proves that not only are you exempt, you're exempt, but there's still a hezek that took place.
What's an example of that?
What would be an example where you give it to the, I don't know, you gave it to him to fix, and he was matame, he was tahor, and you gave him something that was tahor, and he was matame. You gave him food he was supposed to shape in a certain insignia for the wedding. And he gave it back to you, and he did the work, but now it's tummy. You can't serve it at the wedding. So it's a hezek sheino nikar. So on the one hand, he, hezek sheino nikar lashmei hezek, he did a b'shel geg, he's potter. But you still have to pay him. So the Nesiva says the din is that you wouldn't have to pay him. So you see, why wouldn't you have to pay him? Because it's still a hezek. It's a hezek, but he's potter from it. So Rav Gusman says, what's missing? The patur, what's missing? The shame mazik or the resulting hezek? That's the question. That's the question.
Is he learning from
Makan Hefesh
or
Yenim Hefesh? No, so Shlomo Zalman is learning from Makan Hefesh. Source 10. Rav Elchanan. Says Rav Elchanan, let's go over to the world of Gzela. Plug to the hezek shenu nikra, the chorah mashal shenu gemar, dikra plug to the linyan hezek, v'minay yalfinu v'gemar, linyan shinui. So if you learn mazik midin from the din of Gezel, and the gazlan, as long as he can say harisha cholofanecha, he's heishav zagzela. So maybe here too with mazik, what defines whether the zechiv tashlumin is? Can you say here hineisha cholofanecha? So now it's Reuven bangs the car of Shimon, right? And then Shimon says, you damaged my car. And he says, Arish Chalafanecha, your car looks exactly the same. There's no damage. Uve emes kavachomru, toh gazel chomer yosem mazik, mavor b'gemara, gav yizarek makbeil yam. Dafil makash mazik potter, gazel chayev, im ken koshikin, hecha de gazel potter mazik vaday potter. Ume yosu atam ba'atzmat, yachol lom, Arish Chalafanecha, zel ashen Ramban. So Ramban understands from this kavachomer that if with Gazan Harisha Chalafanecha, then Mazik all the more so, you should be able to say Harisha Chalafanecha. So on the surface, if you look at it, it's invisible. Empirically, you can't see, it's indiscernible that there's been any change. So when I give it back to you, I'm saying Harisha Chalafanecha.
Can I add even more? I'm sorry. Except for 1950,
something
stolen, and
right.
And you want to return it to YouTube, and that print no one's going to read anymore.
Right.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you'd say Harish Shachal Fanecha. That would be the din. Harish Shachal Fanecha. Harish Shachal Fanecha means I'm giving what I took. Even though its worth has changed. Its worth has changed, but that's the din. Harish Shachal Fanecha. In fact, so much so that we say Harish Shachal Fanecha with Chomet Shavu Levan Pesach.
Even when the entire value is not in the physical?
You can't do Kiddushin, you can't do Pidyon HaBen with the Chometz Shavu Levan Pesach, right? You can't repay a debt with it, But you say Harisha Khalfanacha. Let's keep reading. Kalamas said Mama Khaver Hazak Nikurhu, Meakashan Yokal Marish Lavanacha. Shay Shaz Khai Bad Banduria Batlay, Ama Hazak Nikurhu, Lahol and Kasa, Master Mama Khaver, Gomocha Khov Sorif, Tola Mahadalev Midi, of Mishiachalom, Harish Khalfanacha, Aino Nikar, Vain Shmo Hazak, Vachin Virva, and so on.
Not really answering my question.
No, because Nozrebuchanan's holding the reason that Hezek Sheino Nikar is Lav Shmei Hezek is because you can still say Harishal Chalafanacha. And whenever you can say Harishal Chalafanacha, so you're asking, why is the din that when you can say Harishal Chalafanacha? Correct. Good. So you got to go back to the Meiri. Harishal Chalafanacha means in the world of Nezek, I'm giving you what I took. In the world of Isser, the Heter, it has a new status. That's a separate din, a Zevater. Choshen Mishma doesn't deal with a Zevater. Choshen Mishma deals with Nezek. And the world of Nezek, Harei Shalach Alefanacha. Shlomo Zalman would say, it's Exer Sakasov. Makin Nev Shal Behema, it's Exer Sakasov. I'm giving you back, there was no Makin of the Behema. The object, the Chevtza, has no damage. I'm able to say Harei Shalach Alefanacha. When I can say Harei Shalach Alefanacha, there's no din Nezek. And that's how Rebuchanan ends. Well, Divra Ramban, Atam, Bevor, Behemes, Hashomer, Chayev, Gam, Behazik, Shen, Nikar, El Diyachalom, Harei Shalach Alefanacha. Right? In other words, really, Hezek Sheino Nikar should create a chiyuv. It's just that you have the technicality, you have the out that you can say Haresha Chalafanacha. And just like in the world of Gezel, anytime you can say Haresha Chalafanacha, you are therefore exempt. When you can say Haresha Chalafanacha, you are good to go. You are good to go. In other words, you're only liable for an act that damages. But if there's a damage with no liability, then that's not a damage. So, because there's no liability, because you can say Harisha Shachalafanacha, then you are out. Source 11, Reb Chaim. They may ask me to share Reb Chaim. Be Reb Chaim. It's from his grandson. Shachiv Shalmazik Mamun Eino Mishava Mishum Shifsa Lachavir Mamun Kiyam Mishum Ahezek Shaasa Beguf Hachif Etzan Nizak. Right, and this gets to the crux of the matter. Says Reb Chaim, Source 11, page 4. Says Reb Chaim. The din, the chiyuv of mazik mamun, chiyuv of mazik mamun, comes not from the change of value, but from the change of the object. Ta'inu ahezek hishchis es adavar hanizak. You have damaged, you have destroyed, you have diminished, you have depleted, you have corrupted, you have compromised. U'mishumachi nischayev ha-mazik l'shalom domim tachas ha-cheftza hanizak. The whole din of nezek is the cheftza changed, and I have to make you whole. My chiv to make you whole is not to make you whole b'mamon, with worth. It's to make you whole with cheftza. Kvar huva l'mayla b'shiurim, shebekach mezber shidus ha-rambam, shamod miktas nezek shakarka, potter mishvu, mishim shudmei karka, ke karka dami. Ha-rambam sober sheikra achiv shamazik ulahachzer as achiv tzanizak, lematzavo harishon, kvi shahaya kodam shehuzak. The chiv of the mazik is to make the nizak whole by the cheftza being restored to the way it was. Hadamim him chalifei hachefza. So when is it that there's a tashlumin for mazik? When there's no way to fix the chefza. So when there's no way to fix the chefza, the only way to enable you to get back a whole chefza is to give you money so that you can replenish the chefza that I damaged. But if I can say Hareshach alafanecha, if I can restore, if I can return to you the chefza the way it was, so that's my own chiv. That's my chiv. The chiv nezikin does not kick in from a change of value, it kicks in from a change in the chevtza itself. In the chevtza itself. Now again, we've just given new language, and we've given new vocabulary, but we still haven't explained the crux. Why should that be? So what Reb Chaim is saying is that we had the wrong assumption to begin with. We were working off the assumption that damages means value. I had something worth X. You left me with X minus. I need to be made whole back to X. But that's not what the chiyuv of Nezek is. Reb Chaim is defining the whole chiyuv of Nezek is a din in cheftza, not a din in value. It's all about a din in chevtza. It's all about the physical, not the metaphysical. As long as I can say Aresha Cholafanecha, even the Gazlan, who's giving back a Chomet Shavuot of Pesach, yet the Gemara says Aresha Cholafanecha. You have what you had. Metaphysical is a separate conversation. The world of Nezek is a physical conversation. Metaphysical invisible is a separate conversation. And Rav Gusman here, the Kuntres Shiurim, source number 12, on page number 5. Ba'ofen kezeh, about 6 lines down. Shalob, shabalo dina isra, below a mitzvah, shu ben adon l'makom, ein kan shum nezik klal. V'raka isra, a mitzvah, zeh po'ala hezek. Bezel lo omra Torah, dina nizikin. Dein shum chiv tashlum en mamon, shal isur en mitzvah, v'rak b'shon nizkev dina mamon, shu ben adon l'chavero. V'lekach ein chayev v'tashlum en al benezek, shu b'zad dina mamon, as bovad. In the world of dina mamonos, in the world of nezek, it's all about the object. Value changed based on isr, is Yeshno mazik v'nizik v'hezik. Aval midinei mamonos bavad einkan nezik v'tarach l'tzayv dinei isur v'heter o dinei mitzvos al nezik b'zeh l'onom r'parshas nizikin. Tachiv nizikin ein lo shim shaychas l'yisurim mitzvos. That's his lashon, even stronger than Reb Chaim. Right? That nizikin has no connection to yisurim mitzvos. Tafilu mishu potu mikol mitzvos shebetorah mikol makam chayv v'm nizikin. V'lachen amatama v'dama v'nasa shkol nezik ina l'machmas ha'isur lav shmai hezik. Einkan lo makah v'lo nefesh behema. That's how Rav Gusman understands it. In other words, let's put it this way. The world of nizikin has to be defined even the way it would by a non-Jew. If a non-Jew looks at that object, the object is exactly the same way after as it was before. For the Jew, it lost value. But what is the driver of the loss of value? Here's how I want to say it. What is driving that loss of value? If what's driving the loss of value is a change in the chevtza, that's where chiv nezikin kicks in. It's what's driving the loss of value is isser v'heter or mitzvahs. So that's not dinei nezikin. And that will not create a chiyuv for the mazik. That's what it means. Lav shmei hezek. Which makes Rav Gustman have the following suffix. Go to the left column. Os Yud Zayin. He says, Nestapakti. Tuva. Igam ba'akum yeshna p'tur de hezek sheno nikar. Do you apply the entire p'tur of hezek sheno nikar to a non-Jew? Again, that was Rabbi Meir, the Lamdas that you were suggesting before. What's missing? Shem Mazik? Or Shem Hezek? Maybe there was a Hezek, but there's no Mazik. Or is it that there's no Hezek altogether? What's missing? That might inform this discussion about whether it applies to a Goy or not. But what I want to finish with, because we're already way over our time, is a few Halacha Lamaisa applications. So you know that this is not just theory or conceptual. This notion of a whole new way of understanding Hezek, a whole new way of understanding Nezikin, a whole new way of understanding Dinei Mamonos, of Choshen Mishpat, that it's not a Din and Issa V'Heter. It's not a religious issue. It is a purely chefza issue. The driver of the change of value has to be a change in the chefza of the object. If the value of the change of the value is a din and isser v'heter, then that's not called a hezek for which one is liable. Why? Because there's no hezek? Or because there was no one who was mazik? Or because they were mazik with a grama? That you can make all of the arguments. So the first truth on Hagus or Sternbach, Shlita, source 13, page 6. As the following case, Hashela shetzarach etzur galoy laachila, v'ochlin shetachas amita also baachila, v'oseh b'sakanto chama meisura. For an esrog to be kosher on Sukkot, it has to be an esrog galoy laachila. If it's an esrog which is not eligible to be eaten, don't eat it on Sukkot. But an esrog that's eligible to be eaten on Sukkot is kosher for dalad minim. And that's fact number one. Fact number two is ochlin tachas amita, food that was placed under the bed is also baachila. And sakanta chamira meisura. V'lachem mekabel esrog shoam yachalotis chavasa beesrog mehudar sheviu lo ubederach haesrog tachas kisei sheshna olav. Somebody put the esrog under the seat on the plane, which maybe has the status of tachas amita. They stored the esrog under their bed. That's now should be pasul midin ochlin tachas amita. You can't eat it. If you can't eat it, it's not eligible to be used as an esrog. So the person who put the esrog under the bed, it's a hezek sheino nikar. Sternbach calls the Pischei Tshuva that today, food placed under a bed, b'dieved we'd say is still can be eaten. Vavadasa grosha also b'di'evet. The gros machmir to say even b'di'evet you can't eat it. And the shchoshish modus akana l'gufa nefesh. We're not talking about exposed, like sitting in the dust and the whatever. We're talking about just under the bed. Of a medina yisavehata v'ade enis v'chefta and so on. But what does he say at the end? Look at the last paragraph. Why? You should get a schar from the fact that you let it go, don't fight him, and there's absolutely nothing to pursue in a Beis Din. Why is there nothing to pursue in a Beis Din? Because this is a quintessential hezek she'eino nikar. The esrog looks exactly the same when it was on top of the bed, under the bed, on the side of the bed. There's nothing visible about the change of the esrog. And therefore, even if you want to argue like the gra that b'di'evit is still ineligible to eat and therefore ineligible to be yotei dalet minim, even if you want to argue there was a hezek that took place, it's a hezek sheino nikar, and therefore don't bother going to Beis Din. The Zilberstein Chashuk Echemer also has a few tshuvas, very quickly. It's page 7, source 14. He has the following question. A syringe, a sterile syringe that came out of its package. Ruvain Pasach Ariza Shamizrak, Visagra Bachazar Valonika Shapsachi. He took out a syringe out of its sterile packaging, and then when he realized he didn't need it, he just closed it up again to make it look like it was never opened. Ulam, but the syringe Kraina Royalam Lachto. It's been opened, it's been exposed. Kevashu lo sterili, it's not sterile. I don't know if Zilberstein would give a shear. It's not sterile. Hem Reuven Chayev. That was a little joke. Vaccination joke. Hem Reuven Chayev ki hezek mamal chavero. Hashem ha vehezek sheinu nikar. So the fact that you opened the syringe and closed it, so again, midin mazek, the syringe looks exactly the same. You didn't even touch the syringe. All you did is open the package. Begeda hezek sheinu nikar matzon ha beis varos rishonim. A Rambam. Right, they have to see it. You have to be able to see it. Gather knows of Shemati Morichan Rabbi Yosher Zatzal. So Hezek Sheinu Nikar Potter Mishum Shikol Mazik Nilma Mimaka Bemi Shamena. V'choshe Hefset Hu Ruchani. V'ze Hefset Rak La Am Yisrael. V'lolu Umas Olam Ein Zedoma Lamaka Bemi Shamena. Again, part of the Xeris Hakasev. Anything that's not Nikar to the nations of the world, but that is a loss that is defined exclusively as a Jewish loss, right? Metame the Taros. So that is not called a Heker, which is Nikar.
Yeah, he's
you're saying it was a brand new sterile syringe, and he opened it and closed it,
and it's no longer. What? There's no way you can do that.
Again, take it up with Rav Zilberstein, but you were able to do it in a way that makes it look like you never did it. So he says in the bottom paragraph, and so on. So therefore he says here, Hachanami apaseach mizrak sterili shalso ma'ase biyadayim aydeza nizak hamizrak chayev kevin shalso ma'ase biyadayim afim nomer shu hezek shenu nikar yechayev. He does not define as hezek shenu nikar. Hezek shenu nikar, he says, is when you've religiously, metaphysically changed its status. But here you physically changed it. You opened it and closed it. That's not called einu nikar, and for that you would be liable. He has another tshuva at the bottom, page 8. Ma'ase b'echad shal machavas mishkan ola achaz man achzira ha'isha es machavas mishkan. So she borrowed her pan, she gave it back. And when she checked, she says that she made fleshiks. Oi, oi, niflata zakum piashchina. She screamed, "It's a dairy pan!" And just this morning, I made dairy in it, and there's a simon on it. Everyone knows the color code: blue is dairy, and red isn't that it? I think that's it. Yeah. It's fleshiks. Yesh l'stapik michayev l'shalim v'sdash shnitzelim sha'achshav tzrichim l'zorkam. Right, it's a ben yomo, so you got to throw out the schnitzel. It's not an eno ben yomo. It was a ben yomo, so you got to throw out the schnitzel. So who's chayev throwing out the schnitzel? And who's chayev for kashering the pan? Yesh l'odin lifter sashom mishnei tam mishum mesa machmas malacha and mishum hezek shenu nikar. Mesa machmas malacha is its own sugya, which we're not getting into right now. But hezek shenu nikar, if you go to page 9, on the hezek shenu nikar part, yitachin shepatim mishum da hezek shenu nikar. Hinekaz v'shach, right? It's a hezek shenu nikar. When she got the pan, it was a frying pan. When she gave it back, it was a frying pan. The fact that now it's a tray frying pan is a hezek sheino nikar. She got a kosher frying pan, and she returned the tray frying pan, a basar b'challah frying pan. So, but if a goy were to look at it, they'd say, it's the same frying pan. It's al bazach. There's nothing different about it. It's the same frying pan. The only thing that's different about it is its metaphysical status. So that's a classic hezek sheino nikar. And because of a shach shamar shal pasuk dein omer b'isra anoh, ha'vishachol ofanecha rak l'gabi gazlin, v'lo l'gabi shomer. So in other words, maybe now the one who trafed up the frying pan can say, you gave me a frying pan, I'm giving you back a frying pan. Ah, you give me back a tray frying pan, what use is it? I've got to kasher it now. Maybe, even among the Shomerim, the Shoel should be different. Shoel has the highest liability. Right? Again, all this is, the Gazlan can say, how much are we comparing a Shomer or a Mazik to a Gazlan? So the Shoel is the lowest level Shomer. So maybe he can't say, and so on, that you are. So he ends up concluding, in this case, the person who trafed up the kli also has to throw out their own schnitzel. They incurred a loss themselves. So maybe even here you'd say mezid is pater. Why? Meaning, why did we say, really, mito araisa hezek shin and nikolash my hezek? So why mezid are yichayev? So make sure that people don't go around damaging another person, a type of damage, which is enu nikar. But over here, we know the person wouldn't have done that on purpose because they themselves incurred a loss. They got to throw out all the schnitzel. So maybe over here you'd say that even the hezek shin and nikar b'mezid, you should be pater, because we're not trying to disincentivize. They're disincentivized by the fact that they have to throw out all their own schnitzel. Concludes with Zilberstein, Yitochen, Shalashitas Harambam, Vadoravi, Binyaninu, Nakshal, the Hezek Shin and Nicker, Shitas Atisis, Yitochen, Shabinyaninu, Havi Hezek Haniker, Vechayev, Lashalim. He says it might depend on. So we have three halachal mice examples: the case of the Esrog under the seat, the contaminated syringe, the schnitzel that was made in the dairy frying pan, are all potential cases of a Hezek Shin and Nicker, which is a. You see that the poskim include exactly our svar. Rabbi May asked me to conclude with 60 seconds of Divrei Agadata. 60 seconds of Divrei Agadata. So today's daf. Now you can tell the chevra that I connected it to the daf. So today's daf says the following: the Rav Tzoli Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. The Rav would daven. The Gemara is talking about what are the distinctive times for davening? What are the demarcations of when you can daven each tefillah, mincha and tamarav and so on? So the Gemara there quotes several Amoraim, Rav in particular, who was Tzoli Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. He already davened Shabbos davening on Erev Shabbos, Tosefa Shabbos. He was Mekabel Shabbos earlier. So the Tefer Shlomo of Demsk says the following. He says, what's pshat that you daven Tzoli Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos? So he says, we know that Yom Shekulo Shabbos, Olam Haba is called Yom Shekulo Shabbos. The world to call it Olam Haba is the Yom Shekulo Shabbos. So Legabe Olam Haba, this world is Erev Shabbos. And the Gemara says that only a person, Mishatarach Be'erev Shabbos, Yochel B'Shabbos. Only if you went shopping and you cooked and you prepared for Shabbos, are you going to sit down to a beautiful Shabbos Suda. But if you first woke up to the fact that Shabbos is coming, when you already were Mekabel Shabbos, you're going to be very hungry. You're not going to have a very nicely set table. You're not going to be clean shaven and showered and wearing your finest. Only Mishatarach Be'erev Shabbos, Yochel B'Shabbos. The work, the effort, the preparation, the hachana has to come on the Erev in order to truly be able to earn and later enjoy the Shabbos. So just like it's true when it comes to the actual, in this world, Mishatarach Be'erev Shabbos, Yochel B'Shabbos, so too, the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, Olam Haba, only Mishatarach Be'erev Shabbos, Yochel B'Shabbos. Only if in this world we live the lives that we're meant to live and we fulfill the purpose for which we are here and we are the best version of ourselves. Only here when we live with Yiras Shemayim and we have a sense of being Ovdei Hashem, only when we're Torah on this Erev Shabbos called this world, do we earn the Olam Haba, the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, which is the world, which is the world to come. And that, he says, is the Pshan of Vishom B'nei Yisrael HaShabbos Lasos HaShabbos L'Dorosom. It means Vishom B'nei Yisrael HaShabbos Ba'olam Hazeh. If you keep the Shabbos in this world, Lasos HaShabbos L'Olam Haba, to the world, the Yom Shekulo Shabbos. We have to keep Shabbos in this world in order to get a taste of and to prepare for and to anticipate the Yom Shekulo Shabbos in the world to come. So it says Rav Shlomo Rodemsk, that's the pshat of Rav Tzali Shal Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. Even on Erev Shabbos, he was living be'bechina Shabbos. Not just he davened, the Tosafot Shabbos he ate it earlier. It meant the whole week long he was Tzali Shal Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. He was feeling Shabbos all week long. The Gemara elsewhere says that Tamid HaChamim are be'bechinas Shomer Shabbos the whole week long. It doesn't mean that they refrain from the Lam Tes Malachas all week long. It means that the mentality, the attitude, the being able to make contact with the Me'ein Olam Haba is the level of consciousness and mindfulness they're living with throughout the week. They don't wait for Shabbos in order to disconnect and to connect to what's most important. They are living connected to what's most important the whole week. So Rav Tzali Shal Shabbos be'erev Shabbos, Rav Davind Shabbos on Erev Shabbos means that we're feeling, that we're tasting, that we're enjoying, that we're experiencing Shabbos the whole week long. We don't have to wait for Shabbos to have Shabbos, but the beauty of what Shabbos can contribute, we can already get in advance. And similarly, we don't have to wait to get to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, the Olam Haba, to sit and be Nena Miziv Hashchina. We can be Toreach on Erev Shabbos, namely in this world, and already be experiencing and enjoying the Yom Shekulo Shabbos of the next world. Shkach, thank you so much for having me.